Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
He is the King of Glory. He's the King of Kings. All these different names that God has given himself identifies him. So one of the ways we can get to know God is by getting to know his name. Names in the Word of God are important. You know, you remember Abraham. His name originally was Abram. But then God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations, father of multitudes. And you remember Jacob, which means deceiver. How he cried out to God to bless him. And the Lord changed his name from Jacob to Israel, which means prince with God. And then, of course, you remember Simon. Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter. But God, he comes in many different names. And I was looking at the names of Jehovah. Jehovah is the Greek word for Lord. And over in Exodus, he refers to himself as Lord. Why don't we just turn there tonight? Exodus chapter 3. How many people interested in looking at the names of Jehovah? Exodus, the third chapter, in verse 13. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" I am. I'm so glad he's not I was. Now, if it wasn't his name, if his name wasn't I am, then we could say, well, you know, God was. And God used to do this and God used to do that. But by calling himself, by naming himself I am, he's letting us know that what we see he is here, he always will be. That's who he is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And of course, the book of Hebrews tells us that. God is not a changing God. A lot of people think God got saved with the New Testament. You know, the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, he was an angry, judgmental, critical, mean God. But under the New Testament, he got saved and got nice and got lovely, and he just had a complete makeover. God didn't have a complete makeover in the new covenant. We got saved, not God. God didn't get saved. We got saved and we received authority in the name of Jesus and received the Holy Spirit. And by receiving the Holy Spirit, God has been able to reveal more of himself to us so that we understand him better. But he's the same God of the old covenant as he is in the new covenant. He's the same. He hasn't changed. As he was with Moses, so is how he wants to be in your life. Isn't that exciting? The same God that Moses walked with is the same God that you and I walk with today. God did not change, which means what he did for Moses, how he communicated with Moses, is how he is with us today. In fact, I'm thinking of the scripture over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hold your place there. It tells us in verse 7, "But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory on his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious?" So the old covenant is referred to as a ministry of death. The new covenant is referred to as the ministry of the Spirit. And he says, if Moses' face was glowing because of the glory of God that was in his life and in his midst at that time, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? See, you don't get less under the new covenant. You get even more. So everything God was, he is to us today, and even more because he's able to reveal himself even more to us. Because the sin has been taken away through Jesus. Now we're the righteousness of God. We have the Holy Spirit. And now the eyes of our spirit can be opened up to be able to behold and understand God more than we ever had or anyone under the old covenant could have ever had. So who he was to Moses, that's who he is to us. And even more glorious. Even more glorious. Verse 9, for if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So when we get in the Old Testament, when we see how God was with someone like Moses, we should get excited. That's exactly how he is with me. Man, if he'll speak to Moses face to face, if he'll talk to God, if God will manifest himself to Moses, that way, he'll manifest himself to me. If God's glory was in Moses' life, God's glory will be in my life. If God's power was in Moses' life, God's power will be in my life. If God will deliver Moses from the hand of Pharaoh, God will deliver me out of the hand of all my enemies. And if a Red Sea needs to be split, bless God, it'll get split. If it doesn't get split, we'll just walk over it. Just like Jesus did and how Peter walked on the water. Isn't that right? But he's with us. As he was, so he is. God has not changed. He hasn't been watered down with the coming of the new covenant. He's still the same. So he is I am. I am. He never will be I was. See, if we say today he doesn't do that anymore, then what we're saying is he's I was. You just changed his name. You just changed his name. Now you see, some people, they try to change what God does and what he doesn't do. But we have to understand, by him calling himself I am, you can't just change what he does and doesn't do without literally changing his name, which is changing him. So there's a lot of folks changing who God is. But we don't want to change who God is. Why would you want to change? Hallelujah. He's these things to us today. I guess people want to change it because they need an excuse of why they don't see him manifesting in their life like he did back then. I'm not looking for excuses. I'm looking to grow in my faith. How about you? I'm looking to see it. Just because I'm not seeing it today, that doesn't mean I'm going to sit here and make excuses about not seeing that and a whole lot more. Never throw in your hope just because it hasn't happened. Just because you haven't seen it. Just stir yourself up and say, bless God, it's mine. And even though I haven't seen it, bless God, I'm going to see it. I'm going to have it. And I'm going to walk in the greater glory of God that's available to me today. And I'm going to have that deeper, stronger, more powerful relationship with God that the Word of God promises than what I currently have today. We're not going to be deterred. We're not going to be stopped. We're not going to back down. We're not going to quit. We're going to go and press in and experience more and more of the great I am. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He is the great I am. And then he goes on. It says, you tell him I am has sent me to you. Verse 15, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. So that's his name forever. He's not changing his name. And it's a memorial to all generations, which would include our generation today. Something for us to remember today is what he's telling us. But notice verse 15 again. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord. Now that word, the Lord, there in the Hebrew, is the word Jehovah. The Lord, your God. God is the word, Hebrew word, Elohim. But I want to focus in on Jehovah, the Lord. The name Jehovah means the self-existent one. I love that. He's the self-existent one, or self-complete being. In other words, he's the source of everything. Nothing causes him to exist. He is self-existent. You and I, our lives are sustained by him. Everything is upheld by God. But God, he upholds himself. He's the source of all life. He is the Lord, the self-existent one, which goes right along with I am. I am. I am the one behind everything. I am the source of everything that is and everything that ever could be. He's the source of it all. And when you get a hold of that revelation that He is the Lord, He is Jehovah, you are going to be in awe of Him. The more revelation you have, the more in awe you're going to be of Him. And the more you are going to lean into Him, you're going to seek Him. Because you recognize you are not a self-existent one. You are not self-existent. You're not a self-made anything. Any good thing that you are, it's because of Him. Now we can grow in that revelation. Any good thing that you are, or any good thing that you might want to be or want to have in life, it's all in Him. He is the source of it all. So you get a hold of that revelation, and we're not going to find ourselves running around apart from Him trying to make things happen. We're going to always be recognizing that He's the one that's going to bring it to pass. If it's going to happen, it's God. But He's so humble and He's so meek, God's not always running around saying, I did it. I did it. Right? A lot of people want to run around and tell you everything they did. A little bit that they do, you know. God does it all. He don't say anything. He got you from point A to point B today. And from point B to point C. I mean, he did today. I did it. I got you here. You wouldn't have been able to walk in this place if it wasn't for me. I did it. You wouldn't be breathing right now if it wasn't for me. God doesn't have this big ego. He's not walking around constantly reminding us of these things. But yet it's so. And we need to humble ourselves and remind ourselves of these things all the time. Because He's not going to. True humility isn't going to run around and boast of itself. Try to prove itself to everybody. And that's how God is. God is a humble God. But we have to recognize what other people are doing for us. We have to recognize what God's doing for us. Because there's a lot of people that do things that won't even say anything about it. You know, because not everybody's, you know, running around trying to tell everybody, blowing the trumpet, telling everybody what they're doing. And we need to be discerning. We need to recognize all the good things that people are doing. But then even more than that, who's behind that? Who's behind those people? Who ultimately is the one that's making it all happen? It's God. That's why He gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. Now people have to yield to Him, and we are very thankful to people. But behind the people is Him. He's working behind the scenes. He's making it all happen. He is the self-existent one. He is the great I am. He is the source of every good thing in our life. Well, as the self-existent one, Jehovah, He gives us eight redemptive names. Eight redemptive names of Jehovah that reveal to us who He is in our life on the earth. He is, number one, Jehovah Raha. Jehovah Raha. The Lord, our shepherd. He is our good shepherd. That's right. That's the Hebrew name. The Lord, our shepherd. Then He's Jehovah Kadesh. Jehovah Kadesh. Anybody know what Jehovah Kadesh is? No. That's why we need to do the series. How many want to get to know God? Well, let's get to know His names. Let's get to know His names. Jehovah Kadesh. And what is that? That's the Lord who sanctifies. The Lord who sanctifies. We see that here in Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus 20 and in verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep the statutes and perform them. Keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Jehovah Kadesh. The Lord who sanctifies you. Now notice that statement there. First He says to the people, In verse 7, sanctify yourselves. Then in verse 8, he says, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So he tells us, sanctify yourselves, be holy. That's what it means to sanctify yourself, is to be holy, to be set apart. How many of you know God is set apart from all evil? He is set apart from all evil. He is set apart from every unclean thing. He is sanctified. And then he tells us to be holy even as he is holy. But we're not to be holy or make ourselves holy in our own strength. We're to be holy by walking with the Lord. The Lord who sanctifies us. He is sanctified and he sanctifies us. He's set apart from evil, and when we walk with him, we are set apart from evil. As we walk with him. So how do we make ourselves holy? We walk with him. Be holy even as he's holy. How do we do it? Walk with he who is holy. Walk with him who is sanctified. Walk with him who is set apart. And you'll be set apart too. Right? If you walk with someone who's set apart, where are you going to end up? Set apart. Set apart. So he is Jehovah Kadesh. And then in Genesis chapter 22, why don't we go there? He is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, that is the Lord our provider, or the Lord will provide. Now, this is his name. He is provider. He is provider. He is the self-existent one who provides whatever we have need of in life. He brings all good provision to us. Whatever you need supplied to you in life, and people know God's got it. If he doesn't have it, he can get it. If it doesn't exist, he can make it. He can create it. Not a problem. And he is Jehovah Jireh. This is who he is to you. This is who he is to you and I. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. He's going to provide for us in every area of life. We're not going to lack anything. And of course, all these names interconnect with each other. Some of these things, some of the meanings of these names overlap each other. So, Jehovah Raha, our shepherd. Well, the Bible says, if the Lord's our shepherd, we shall not want, we shall not lack. Why? Because he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. He's our provider. So he's our shepherd. He's our provider. Our shepherd is going to provide for us, right? And our provider is going to be our shepherd, who's going to feed us, who's going to lead us, who's going to take care of us. We're not going to have any want, not have any lack. This is who he is. This is not who he was. This is not what we're hoping he'll be. We don't have to beg for him to provide for us. It's who he is. Well, I don't know if God will provide for me. I'm just not sure. Well, will the provider provide? Yeah, because he's the provider. I mean, it'd be silly to wonder if a provider is going to provide, right? I mean, if you know it's who he is, then you know he's going to provide. So whatever provision you have need of, why would you be anxious about it unless you didn't know that he was Jehovah Jireh? He is your provider. He revealed himself as this to Abraham over here in Genesis chapter 22 and in verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Look at the confidence that he has in God, that God will provide. God will provide the lamb, is what he told his son. In other words, God will provide the sacrifice. So he's told me to sacrifice you, but I know God will provide. And he has such confidence that God will provide that here he is about to slay his son with the knife. But verse 11 says, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. Or Jehovah, the Lord, Jireh, provider. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And then, notice verse 17. God says, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So God blessed him, multiplying him exceedingly. So when the Bible says he's a provider, he's a multiplier. He supplies big time. Big time. And every blessing that Abraham received, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, belongs to you and me. It belongs to us today. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. So that same blessing belongs to you and I today, making us a blessing to the world. Somebody say, I'm a blessing to the world. You see, now that goes out beyond your family. And I just want to be a blessing to my family, God, and get my needs met. You're thinking too small. We're talking about Jehovah Jireh. We're talking about big time provision here. He wants to bless you exceedingly so that you affect the world. Affect multitudes. No? You don't think you can affect multitudes? You're right, you can in and of yourself, you puny thing. But in him, by him, he's a big God. He can do great things through you, through your little. You don't have to be big, but you got a big God that is with you. His name's Jehovah Jireh. That's his name. You know, sometimes I think we need to use these names when we pray to remind ourselves. You know, you got a provisional need, and you need to pray about some provision. Don't just say, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord what? Lord what? Lord our provider, right? Oh, Lord, we got this need. This bill has to get paid. You know we're in debt, and you know where we're at. Oh, God, help us in the name of Jesus. Well, thank God for the name of Jesus. Thank God for God. But specifically, who do you need? You need Jehovah Jireh. That's the God that you need. So why not pray that way? Say, oh, thank you, Jehovah Jireh. Thank you, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Go into it that way. And then it's easy to be able to believe God for the provision, because that's who he is. You don't have to say, would you, could you? Yes, it's who he is. It's as good as done. Somebody say, he's my provider. Number four, he is Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. We see that over in Judges chapter 6. You can look it up in your leisure. Judges chapter 6, read verses 16 through 24. He is the Lord our peace, and this peace, the Bible says in the New Testament, is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace, in other words, that doesn't make sense. It's a peace that's beyond our comprehension. It's greater than we can even understand. It's an overwhelming peace. You understand, people smoke things to have this peace. People try to get away and drink things to have this peace. But we don't have to go smoke something and drink something. We got Jehovah Shalom. Shalom. That's who we got. He is our peace that surpasses all understanding. No matter what kind of trial, no matter what kind of trouble we're going through, if Jehovah Shalom is there, what do you got? You got peace. You got peace. So you're feeling anxious, you're feeling worried, you're really concerned about something. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let's call him by the right name for this one. Jehovah Shalom. Lord, my peace. Lord, my peace. I thank you. I mean, you already got peace before you even ask. Just by calling on his name, you've already got the peace. You've already received it. You already believed it before you're even asking specifically about the thing that you're asking for. Asking for him to help you with and give you peace about. Just by saying his name, you already got the peace. Jehovah Shalom. Thank you, Jehovah Shalom. Oh, hallelujah. Lying in bed anxious at night. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. Oh, thank you, Jehovah Shalom. You are my peace. You're the Lord, my peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. And you just get yourself totally intoxicated in peace. Right? That's what some people, they drink until they're intoxicated. And then intoxication, for some people, it's a very peaceful experience. Right? They get very, they call it wasted, you know. They just have peace. They have peace. Just not worried. No worries. No more fear. No more anxiety. It's amazing. I remember I was on the beach one time. This guy, you know, he just kept drinking and drinking. Next thing you know, he rose up. He had such boldness. And he went out there, and I won't get into the details, but he was able to do anything. He had peace, anything that he did. It was amazing. I mean, he could have gone in the ocean and met a shark. He would have hugged it. The guy had, he had just total peace. Now, I love this word, shalom. Love, shalom. It means, this Hebrew word shalom means peace, well-being, prosperity. That sounds like Jehovah Jireh. See, these names will overlap each other. Prosperity, health. That's what the name shalom means. Health. That's going to overlap another name. Completeness. Completeness. He's Jehovah completeness. He's Jehovah soundness. He's Jehovah welfare. Not the kind from the government. He's Jehovah safety. Jehovah safety. We're talking about shalom. Shalom means safety. Safety. Jehovah safety. I got Jehovah safety. That's why Jesus, he was lying in the boat, and the boat was filling with water, but he's Jehovah's safety. Right? He's the Lord. The Lord Shalom. Safety, quiet, tranquility, contentment. Total contentment. Not greedy, not frustrated, not needy. Contentment. He's Jehovah contentment. Don't you love that? He's Jehovah peace. Jehovah our peace. Jehovah our well-being. Jehovah our prosperity. Jehovah our health. Jehovah our completeness. Jehovah our soundness. Jehovah our welfare. Jehovah our safety. Jehovah our quietness. Jehovah our tranquility. Jehovah our contentment. Ah, oh, I just feel relaxed saying his name. Did that relax anybody? That just so relaxed me. You get into his presence, become aware of him. Ah, we're going to have peace. We're going to have peace. And we need to be led by peace. We need to make decisions in peace. And so sometimes you're sitting there in your house and there's turmoil going on, or wherever you are at work or whatever, and you just need to say, shalom. Shalom. When my children go to bed at night, most of the time, when I'm walking out of the room, I'll put my hands on the doorposts of the room and say, shalom. They'll say it right back to me now. Shalom. Because it's peace, safety, protection. Amen. Somebody say shalom. Turn to somebody and say shalom to you. Isn't that good? He is, number five, Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. And we see this here in Exodus chapter 17. Come on. Oh, I love this. Well, does God heal today? Well, is he Jehovah Rapha today? Is that his name? Or, you know, it's not just something. See, it's not just something he does. It's who he is. So that's, you know, it's like saying, well, does the healer heal today? Huh? Does the healer heal today? Does the Lord our healer heal today? See, you don't have to wonder about, does the Lord our healer heal today when he's the Lord our healer? Wouldn't make sense if I'm the Lord, you're a healer, but I don't heal today. Huh? He didn't lose his name. It still identifies him. This identifies him forever. These are his names forever. So somebody say, he's Jehovah Rapha to me. He's the Lord who heals. Or the Lord my healer. See, when you know he's the healer, then there's not a question about healing. Not a question about being healed. Just be with him. You hang around with the Lord Rapha, you're hanging around with healing. See? And a lot of times folks are so focused on the healing, they're missing the source of the healing, which is the healer. So you're dealing with any kind of symptoms? Who do we pray to? Jehovah Rapha. Yes. Jehovah Rapha. Lord, our healer. Lord, my healer. I thank you, Lord, concerning these symptoms. Concerning these feelings. Concerning that condition. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are my healer. Exodus 15. Again, with Moses. In verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, which means bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha. So notice, here they came to this place where the water was undrinkable, it was bitter, it was poisonous water. And of course, sickness and disease can make life bitter. Isn't that right? Can make life bitter. And so God shows Moses a tree. And he takes the tree and he throws it in the water. And when he throws the tree in the water becomes sweet. These bitter waters become sweet. And of course, water in the Word of God can also be likened to humanity, people, waters. So he took the tree, which we know is a type of the tree, the cross, that Jesus hung on for you and me. And he cast the tree into the waters. And it was made sweet. And there was healing. People were healed of diseases. People were healed of sicknesses. Because that's what the cross of Christ brings to you and I. when we apply the cross of Christ, when we apply what he did for us on that cross to our condition, the result will be healing. The result will be sweetness, going from bitter to sweet, going from sickness to healing, to being healthy. Amen. It's all in the tree. It's all on the cross. That's what that is a type of there for you and I. So Jesus, when he hung on that cross, the Bible says he took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. That's what that tree is a type of. He is our healer. Wherever Jesus went, if people came to him in faith that were sick, what happened? They were healed. Acts chapter 10 says he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Who did he heal? All. And all who came to him were healed. That's who he is. Just come to Jesus. Come to Jehovah Rapha and enjoy healing in your life. Number six, he is Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. We see that here in Exodus chapter 17 and in verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it onto him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. What does that mean? He fights our battles. He fights our battles. Praise God. Now, don't get that wrong. Well, the Lord fights all my battles, so I don't have to do anything. No. No, in most cases, he doesn't fight our battles for us. He fights our battles through us. Through our faith. We fight the good fight of faith, and the Lord fights all our battles through us. Somebody say, the Lord's fighting my battles. Through me. Praise God, you're not alone. You're not alone on the battlefield of life. The Lord is your banner. He's over you. He is your protection. He is your strength. He is your shield. He is your fortress. He is your weapons of war. That's who he is in our life. Glory to God. So you ever feel threatened? Running around, locking the doors at night. Worried about what might happen. Thank God, Jehovah Nisi is your God. The Lord, our banner, belongs to you. Praise God. That's who he is to you and I. So if you're feeling threatened by anything, pray it. Pray to who? Huh? Huh? Jehovah Nisi. Pray to him, praise God. Jehovah Nisi. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. Thank you, Lord. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And you always lead me in triumph. You always lead me in victory. Jehovah Nisi. Number seven, Jehovah Sitkanu, which is the Lord our righteousness. We see that in Jeremiah chapter 23. Verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, says Jehovah, that I will raise to... Whenever you see Jehovah, what does that mean? The self-existent one. Whenever you see Lord, what does that mean? Jehovah, the self-existent one. Right? So remember, mind yourself of that. The days are coming, says the self-existent one, the source of all things, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved. Of course, who is this? Who is this branch that the Lord's talking about, this branch of righteousness? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And in his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, or Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is our righteousness. He's the source of righteousness. In other words, you can't make yourself right in the sight of God. You can't make things right. You can't make anything in your life right. He's the one that sets everything right. He is rightness. He is righteousness. He makes everything right. So if you want things right, if you want to walk right, if you want to act right, if you want to live right, if you want to be righteous, then what must you do? You must walk with Jehovah Tsidkenu. Amen? You got to walk with Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's your righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, a lot of religious people are out there trying to make themselves righteous through their works. Now, we know we're righteous because we have Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is our righteousness. We have him. We have his righteousness. We have righteousness. We have right living. We have him. And so our works follow. Our works follow our walk with Jehovah Tsidkenu. We're not out here trying to be righteous in our works to earn our way to God. We already have God. He's a free gift to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a free gift to us. And so now we have Jehovah Tsidkenu. And as a result of having him, abiding in him and walking with him, righteousness flows out of our life. Why am I struggling with this? I don't know why I keep falling into the same sins. It's because you keep turning away from Jehovah Tsidkenu. If you're having a trouble with any kind of sin, it's because you're not focused on Jehovah Tsidkenu. That sin is bigger than Jehovah Tsidkenu. That sin is bigger. You're more conscious of earthly things than you are of him. Start exalting him. So if you're struggling with something, say, oh, you are Jehovah Tsidkenu. You're the Lord my righteousness. You are the Lord my righteousness. So, Lord, I thank you that I'm going to walk righteous today because I'm going to walk with you. I have you. I have righteousness. I have you. You are my righteousness. And so as we abide in him, we live righteous lives. That's how it works. Can you say amen? Number 8. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. Ezekiel chapter 48. Sometimes I just feel like he's millions of miles away. Don't even know if he hears me. Hears me. Hears me. Hears me. Now you know his name. What's his name? Jehovah Shammah. Right? Jehovah Shammah. What is that? The Lord is present. Ezekiel 48 in verse 35. Now, the Lord's describing the city and the temple that he dwells in. That's what, in its context, that's what he's been talking about here. And then it says in verse 35, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. The Lord is there, or the Lord is present. He's there. Where? He's there. He's in the city. He's in the temple. And you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is there. How many people are the temple of the Holy Spirit? God lives in you. He's there. You don't have to go very far to find God. You don't have to go looking around for him. He's there. We need to develop a consciousness that he's there. He is Jehovah Shammah. He's present. He's with me right now. He's with me right now. Isn't that good? Well, you know he's there with you right now. Remember, I was on a commercial airline one time. And all of a sudden, it was the devil. All of a sudden, fear came out of nowhere. I looked out the window, you know. We were up there, I don't know how many thousands of feet up in the air. And all of a sudden, these fearful thoughts started. What happens if you go down? Fear just kind of gripped me. And then this scripture the Lord gave to me over in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that scripture just came to me just from the Lord. You know, fear came to my mind, and then the Lord brought that scripture to me. Be of good courage. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He is Jehovah Shammah. He's present. He's there. And I thought to myself, you know, here I am. I'm up in this plane. And, you know, I'm way, way up here from the ground. But I'm with someone who's right here with me and whose feet are touching the ground. And he's got his feet on the earth and he's right here with me. So what's the problem? He's upholding everything. He's Jehovah Shammah. Never have to be afraid. Never have to be worried about anything. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is present with us all the time. So, he's Jehovah Raha. What's that? The Lord our shepherd. He's Jehovah Kadesh. Lord that sanctifies. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Shalom. The Lord our peace. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Sitkanu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. This is who he is. And this is just some of the things that he is. That's some pretty exciting things. That's who he is to you and I. He gave us those names because he wants us to know that's who he is in our life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Let's thank Jehovah Raha and Jehovah Kadesh and Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Shalom and Jehovah Shammah and Jehovah Sitkanu. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jehovah Nisi, and we bless you.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.